resolution possibility that we've come up with here is that when it was amended by the voters, it went from public safety to public safety and streets. And from the best that we can tell from that time, there were no payroll payments made out of the 0.5%. Doesn't mean that we couldn't do it, but I think to put us in a best legal position as a city, I think that you can cut the funding of streets because there's nothing tied in with any required percentages or dollar amounts that you have to allocate towards streets. And I also remember the discussion at the time, I mean, I was around at that time, and the discussion was that we will fund public safety first. That's my personal recollection of it. And so if the funding of the streets is cut, which you can do except for contracts that we've signed into or obligated ourselves to, if you cut that street funding, you then, whatever you're now going to allocate towards streets or capital or equipment for the public safety departments, you can, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can transfer from the 1% into the 0.5% to cover those, and then that leaves you with more funds in the 1% fund. Thus, you could pay additional payroll out of the complete 1.5% that we are currently collecting. The amount towards the streets would, I guess, be my suggestion on what could and should suffer. But it is possible. Again, I don't think there's any need to go to the voters with this at all.
Any comments on that real quick? Ms. Butto?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is that 0.5% has a time limit on it. So no matter what we do, I'm not saying we couldn't shift things around, use that for payroll, but there's a time limit. We have to go back to the voters and get approval to continue that. So if we're using the majority of it to pay personnel, there's a risk there, and if it doesn't pass, what do we do then? At the same time, I think we went through a long period of time where we didn't touch the streets hardly at all, and look at the position we were in when we came back and finally started putting money towards the streets. So I just think we really have to take a hard look at the budget. I think there's obviously a need to increase the pay and funding for safety services, but I also don't want to go down to where streets are not being addressed. So we just got to figure out how we're going to balance all this, and factoring in that that 0.5% does have a limit to it. You know, it's going to expire, and we're going to have to go back to voters and ask for that to be renewed or changed in some way to continue if we're using it for payroll.
I would agree. I think that the communication, at least from council and administration, from the amendment to the 0.5% has been for capital expenses for streets, and it was done at that 7-year mark so that the community could decide if they wanted to pass it again and continue on with those projects. But you don't typically cut back in payroll once it's in place. So to your point, it's not very sustainable when you're using something that has an expiration date for payroll.
And one final comment on that, if I could. One of the things Chief was talking about, which we all know needs addressed and we're working on, is facilities. And I know we're waiting to see what that report comes back at, but addressing those facilities will not be a cheap venture at all.
No.
You know, it's likely going to be a new, with the age of this building, it's likely going to be new. Even just to accommodate the size of vehicles and those things, it's most likely a new structure that's going to be a significant investment. How do we pay for that? That all factors into that as well. So just have to be realistic here what we're up against and then figure out how we're paying for that, where we can cut in other areas. But, you know, to me, the safety service and the streets are both very important. We can't shortchange either one of them.
Mr. Fleck.
Oh, we're not doing streets no more, but we want more money. See how that works.
would not be popular. Ms. Clausen.
Yeah, I think that the streets are, it's clear for the citizens of this community to see the action of their tax dollars when they see new streets. You know, we need, they know we have new safety equipment, new cruisers. They see that stuff. They see it. And I think we got to be very careful how we, if we dip into something that does have a, you know, a chance that it doesn't get renewed. And then especially if one of the attractions is to lure, not, I hate to say this, but attract new firemen here would be a new station, then how do we pay for that? And that 0.5% is a way for us to do that. There's a mechanism there. I know it's going to be a tough thing because that still could expire. So we got to have something that's that we can really use to one, afford to build something like that, and that, you know, it's what is appropriate. We went out and got outside, you know, people to look at it and give us their true assessment. So, and this organization specializes in fire halls and growth for future and what that may look like. And I think we want to be able to do that versus putting a Band-Aid on what we have. So I would be very cautious, you know, as Brooke said, to go and put payroll on something that's temporary. It'd be very risky, I think.
Mr. Sanford.
Yes, and just for clarity, because I was under the impression that we hadn't had any 0.5% money go to payroll, and it sounded like you said yes, and then the law director said no. What did we have money going to payroll from the 0.5% at some point?
There was two time periods referenced. The first was the original passage. The second was the renewal, which added streets.
Okay, so at that point it changed.
I believe that's what we both said.
Yes.
Okay, just want to ask for clarity.
Yep.
Thank you.
Other comments at this time? All right, then we are going to open up to audience communication. I've got several here. Again, I'm going to call them. When you put down the topic, it helps me to be able to organize so that we're not jumping from topic to topic to topic. So I appreciate you guys doing that. And I'll try to give them the order as best I can as the way they came in. Just a reminder to everybody in the audience, just an appeal to you that we be solution oriented. We want to try to work together as a community for solutions. Also, it's my distinct honor to have to always keep council decorum, so we don't want to make sure that there's any personal attacks or anything like that. That's what this is about. And also, we maintain council decorum, language, etc. So just to remind you of that from time to time. With that in mind, I'm going to ask Cheryl Braun. You have general questions.
Thanks, Brooke, for getting back to us on that 0.5% from the last meeting. That kind of helps me. I can honestly say I was one of the first committee members on that 2010 levy committee, and I can assure you when we started it, it was to take care of that fire department. I know it's been amended for the streets, and we were all good with that. I don't know where did you guys, I kind of asked that question last time, is there any $20 on everybody's utility bill for streets? Is there any possibilities? Did anybody find out anything?
Able to do that. We haven't found a specific mechanism that would allow us to put that on a utility bill because it's not a utility. So there's difference. We're still looking at that, but I don't know how to do that. We did it for the GAC because that's a utility.
Okay.
So yeah, I understand exactly what you want.
Okay.
So.
And I'd like to add, we've been looking into many things. And if anybody has any ideas, please.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I would love to hear them.
No, I'm good. I appreciate at least you're getting back to us on the questions that were asked. I'd like to know, though, what is in that building fund toward the fire department? Like, I hope that not all the money went to streets. Anybody have any ideas? I just want to know that I wasn't on this fire committee and no monies went to putting back for any of this stuff. Because I feel then I misled people.
You and I talked, and that was one of the purposes for the 0.5% was to go after that, and that certainly is it. The streets were really addressed up front, but we have to do that, which is why we started the feasibility as well. But we are going to follow through on that. I don't know. We'll have to look.
I would like to have that question answered. Yes. Another question I have, Mr. Cahill's classes, how are those classes going? We haven't heard anything in any of the meetings.
No, because he was doing this pro bono, it had shifted at. I think our next training day is, I want to say the 17th next week. And so it'll be by virtual, so he's going to do a teleconference. I think we've got a half-day training session with him. He's currently in California working with another facility and plant, but he's taking that time out. We're trying to get back on track with where we're at with it.
Okay, so. Perfect. As far as for the classes for the firemen, I know it's not helping Joel and those guys now. I would highly recommend that maybe we help pay for some classes, but on that being said, I would like a maybe with a passing grade, you know, they get X amount of dollars, maybe all paid if they stay with us for 5 years. If they leave before that 5 year period, maybe
we're actually, and Cheryl, I really appreciate that. We're actually not, we've got an ordinance on the table to create the firefighter position, okay, which allows them to get in the door. But we're looking specifically at that reimbursement.
Okay.
So we are looking at things to try to help them make that decision.
Okay.
And obviously, we can't do it up front because if they don't pass, we're not going to get the money back.
Thanks.
So we would do that and then be able to have that commitment. So thank you for that question.
Okay. Another thing, and this is just the business side of me coming out, I guess I would like more questions answered on the EMS side. Brooke answered my question on the $290,000. I'd like to know if we're doing, and I just need a number, how many runs that we're doing a year. I know my brother just used an ambulance service, and it was $1,200. I mean, we're looking into millions of dollars. Maybe we're in the wrong business. Maybe we should be in the business of taking that side on. I looked up an ambulance, basically it's $300,000. I'm just saying, maybe we need to look at different avenues of it too. Thanks.
And I can let you know, Cheryl, I don't have the number of runs that we've done so far this year, but I can look that up and send that to you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Patrick Crosby, Public Safety Staffing.
Evening. I hadn't actually intended to make any statements tonight, but during the safety committee meeting, something was not brought up that I think needs to be addressed. I just want to be clear as to why I'm speaking to you folks. You'll see on the card that I actually don't live in the city of Salina. I do work in the city of Salina, so I pay Salina income taxes. I live just adjacent to the city, so I live in an area that's covered by Salina Fire and EMS. If there's an emergency at my house for law enforcement, chances are Salina Police Department would probably respond to assist the sheriff's office in a dire emergency. So that's why I'm speaking about safety services here. We heard Chief Lange speak very passionately for a half an hour about the serious issues within the Salina Fire and EMS departments. My question is, why are we not hearing about the issues within the Salina Police Department as well? At full staff, the Salina Police Department has 18 officers. That counts the chief and assistant chief who do not do normal law enforcement work. Their jobs is administrative. Starting in July of last year, the Salina Police Department started losing officers to other agencies. As of February of this year, the Salina Police Department has been 5 officers short of those 18, or if you want to consider it, 16 patrol officers. No candidates have been hired. There's another officer who's on his way out the door, and one viable candidate to fill those empty positions. Why are we not talking about the police department as well? The issue is just as dire at the police department as it is in the fire department.
Any response from council this time?
Yeah, you know,
good.
When we got asked to attend a meeting, it was with the fire department, and what the urgency was is that they were going to go down to where they could not support shifts, and that's why we reacted to this meeting, was to how do we help recruitment, so, and that's why we. we started this meeting, it was all based on feedback from the police or from the fire department.
Okay. So is the issue with the police department going to be addressed? Because as I said, it is just as dire, if not more dire, at the police department as it is at the fire department. I can tell you 100% that officers are burnt out. Officers are looking for the door. They're looking for other agencies. And police officers are in high demand right now. There's issues getting vacations covered. There's a high stress level. There's low morale.
Do you want to chime in?
So I think anything that we address with the fire, I think especially staffing issues as far as how we're going to approach recruiting and stuff like that, or trying to get new people in and trained, is kind of unique with the fire than it is the police. Yeah, we didn't address any of the police today, but I believe that you have to come through a police academy.
As you do a fire academy.
I understand that. No, we did not address the police department this time, because we were worried. I'm talking with some of the fire department, and I was worried about the fire staffing. Now, I understand the police are there as well. I don't have a good answer for you.
Stanford?
I'll ask the blunt question. Are you concerned about police department
absolutely,
staffing?
Absolutely, yeah. We are. We're just as concerned as that as we are as the fire. Today we had a meeting, a committee meeting about the fire.
And why was police not involved? Because initially the safety committee meeting was scheduled for an hour, correct?
That is correct.
Why wasn't it kept as an hour, a half hour for the fire department, a half hour for the police department?
I had a personal issue today.
Okay. And
I was the one that asked to knock it back to a half an hour.
Okay.
I actually got back into town at about 6 o'clock.
I wouldn't know that. I'm not going to.
I understand. I didn't want
to
advertise that. So I mean, but that was one of the reasons why we did that. And I felt at that time the fire department needed to talk about the fire department tonight, and that's why the safety services committee was called for the fire department.
I don't think it was meant as a slight, Mr. Crosby, to the police department at all. We had to shorten this meeting by half due to his circumstance as well. And I know that we have been definitely looking with concern towards our police department as well as our fire department. That's definitely an issue. We understand that. We definitely need new hires. I personally have asked five people to consider police and fire just in the last week. Younger people, some in their middle age. Listen, they're qualified. They qualify. We changed the age limit. We raised up, you know, what the minimum or whatever it was, age that you could start, actually maximum. So I think it was 35 for police, and then
now it's up to 50.
Now it's up to 50. So I might personally have asked five people to consider making a change in career or looking at a career in either one of these. So I mean, others I'm sure are doing the same thing. So certainly concerned about it and want to address those issues as well. So, and I'm sure this is not the last meeting we'll have. I can assure you of that. We're just looking at what things we can do. I think one of the greatest things we can do is begin to promote these two careers as a viable life career for people in high school. I'm not just talking Salina. We should go to Coldwater, and we should go to Parkway and other places and try to, I think our police chief and our fire chief or whoever else could be a representative of these departments, go in there and say, listen, maybe you don't want to go to college. Maybe you don't want to go in the workforce over here being a welder, whatever it may be, but here's another option that you may want to consider. Police, fire, these are great careers, which you chose, and you know that it is. So I think we just got to be more positive and try to get more attraction towards that. And I know that's going to cause, as Chief Lange was saying, an age gap of experience, but we got to start somewhere. And that's kind of where I'm at. We got to start somewhere. If we get some younger ones in here and we're going to have a predominantly younger force, it is what it is until we can get some more lateral hires or maybe some people can stay on a little bit longer. So. Councilman Sanford, I don't want to ignore your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering, do we have anybody in the city already, or could we have somebody that does positive marketing? Do we have anybody that would be just on top of this stuff, marketing on the website, marketing on social media? Do we have anybody doing that or have a position for anything of that nature? Because I know that it's powerful when we can, and we've got to counteract the negative social media because there's a lot out there, and there are issues. I'm not denying that at all. There's issues on all sides, but we've got to understand, as much as we can, talk to each other and work with each other and lay our arms down, because I think we got to combat that. If there's a position that we could have somebody just positively putting on the website, having flyers made, put around town. And I also think, too, if we can start really activating our fraternal organizations, our churches and other places, that they talk to people and just say, hey, these are great professions. These are great places that you can work and you can make a great living. If we can get people organized and just realize that this is a community effort behind all of this, I think that's a huge deal. And I don't know if we can make something like that happen, but some kind of marketing that is positive in the sense for the city, that people look at it and they say, man, that's a great place. That looks really cool. That would be awesome.
We will look at doing, we don't have anybody internally that does marketing, but I think that we can look at on a contractual basis. I mean, people here can come up with things, but you're looking at something as a recruitment. So maybe we might be able to center on a recruitment agency for safety services. And I do concur. I think Mr. Crosby's right. I think we need to attract that. We've not lessened our need in the police department either. Both of them are equally important, but I think that we have to learn what we're doing to address that specifically. It's also budgetary items, so I think you've got safety services in general, and we have to look at them all.
Yeah, and there's recruitment and retention, so I get that.
Absolutely. We've got retention issues. It's a two-sided coin.
Yeah, for recruitment, we've got to get some people now so that in the short term we can get them coming in. And my fear would be that some people would look at the city and say, like, I see what they're saying on social media, and I don't want to be here for that. That's my fear. I would love for people to look at the city positively and say, yeah, okay, that looks good. And if there are things that we still need to talk about, let's just keep the talking going, and let's make some solutions. Let's go towards solutions. And I appreciate when people bring stuff to hold our feet to the fire. I do. And I want us to keep those conversations going. And as far as social media, if we can get positive stuff out there and I get that ball rolling, I think that helps a lot.
Councilman Gray.
I appreciate what you said. And by no means, I didn't mean to slight the police by just concentrating strictly on fire right now. And thank you for your passion and standing up and talking with us. One question I do have to you is, do you guys have any ideas on how we can increase openings, filling openings?
Recruitment? Are you talking about recruitment? Are you talking about retention?
Retention.
There are all kinds of issues, quite frankly.
Maybe we can sit down and talk.
Okay. I'd be more than happy to.
All right. Look forward to that. I'll reach out to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jim Stelzer, police, fire, tax.
This as quick as I can. I was recruited. I made a roll.
Thanks, sir.
Huh. No thanks. Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Right. It's coming from.
All right, real quick. I'm Jim Stelzer. Live 4611 St. Anthony Road. Been a cop for 35 years. And was at Salina for 26 and a half. Real quick, Brian Anderson called me and asked me if I would read a letter. He drafted a letter. He's not in town tonight. So I'm going to stick to the letter and just read through it. Top paragraph says he contacted me with some of his thoughts. Respect of everybody's time, I'll attempt to keep this brief summary of the highlights I think are important for your consideration. One, I have heard mentioned that the city is finding itself in a staffing crisis with public safety departments, specifically the fire department. Everyone needs to understand, crisis did not suddenly appear. It has been brewing for years. In fact, 3.5 years ago, in December 2020, a letter to the editor appeared in the Daily Standard speaking specifically to this looming issue. For full disclosure, I have included the letter to the editor in its entirety on the back of this packet. In the interest of time, however, the letter stated. I'm going to skip that paragraph because you guys can read that later. To put it simply, for 50 years, the Salina Fire Department staffing level has stayed the same, and over those 50 years, their run volume has quadrupled. For any city council member or elected official who has been in their position for a number of years and who didn't see this crisis coming, you've been asleep at the wheel. For those of you new to council or elected positions, you have your work cut out for you to address this issue and attempt to repair the damage that has resulted from years of inaction by your predecessors and peers. Number two, recently raises were given in an attempt to bring wages for firefighters and police officers more in line with those in comparable cities around the area. Thus, trying to support employee retention efforts, this was a move in a positive direction for safety services in Celina. However, as some of you may or may not know, this move also resulted in the fire department being told they needed to cut almost $100,000 from their budget in 2025. I have also been advised that the police department was also told to cut around $100,000 from their budget in 2025 as well. Talk about speaking out of both sides of your mouth. One hand, public safety employees are told how much they are valued and how much the city wants to bring their wages to a more appropriate competitive level. But on the other hand, behind the closed doors, they are then told due to the increase in pay, they will need to cut a significant sum from their budget the following fiscal year. At this point, any goodwill towards employee retention that potentially was being built has now been tossed out the door by saying, thank you for your service, here's your raises, now cut your budget. In fact, as some may or may not know, the severely understaffed fire department had planned to add a very much needed position to their fire department, a battalion chief spot. But with that mandated budget cut described above, that position will not be filled. Number three, the previous point discussed is made even more laughable and less understandable when you consider the fact that there is a 0.5% income tax specifically earmarked for fire and police department operational expenses, capital equipment purchases, and capital improvements. I realize the additional income tax language was amended in 2016 to include the ability to use money for streets, alleys, sidewalks, right-of-way improvements as well. That being said, this special income tax has brought in over $2 million each year since 2016 to the city coffers. In fact, in 2023, it brought over $2.6 million. There is money there. Historically, since making the language change to add streets and alleys, etc., more money has been allocated and spent on these projects than has been spent on police and fire budgets. Maybe it's time for that dynamic to change. Truthfully, if 2025 cuts need to be made, these cuts need to be coming out of planned street, alley, sidewalk, and right-of-way projects rather than out of the Celina Safety Service budgets. Remember the initial intent of this 0.5% income tax was to ensure fire and police were given the funding they needed. I can definitely speak to this point because I was part of the levy committee that was formed and went door-to-door in 2010. Just for the record, I was also on that committee going door-to-door. In closing, I've heard a couple other items I would like to touch on. It has been said that the additional 0.5% income tax has never been used to pay police and fire payroll. I would counter that. It looks like it's time to start using some for that purpose. In both safety service departments, the people are the most important assets. If you don't choose now to invest in keeping them and staffing their departments appropriately, you're just kicking the can down the road in the same manner as City Council has in the past years. It has also been said that the 0.5% income tax can't be used for fire or police department payroll because it's not...
I've corrected that, by the way.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just reading the letter.
Just making sure. Okay.
Yeah. Cannot be used for payroll because it's not specified in the ballot language that was approved by voters. I would counter that language approved by the voters specifically states for operational expenses. Without any further guidance in the ballot budget, I would turn to the Ohio Revised Codes, ORC Section 5705.1, Tax Levy Law Definitions Section F, that says current operating expenses and current expenses mean lawful expenditures of a subdivision except those permanent for permanent improvements and except payments for interest sinking fund and retirement bonds, notes, and certificates of indebtedness of the subdivision. It is clear the guidance of the Ohio Revised Code on this topic does not list payroll expenses as an exception to the definition of what constitutes operating or operational expenses for the political subdivision of Ohio, of the state of Ohio. I want to make sure all of you realize this past week our department lost, I think he's talking about the fire, yeah. Our fire department lost another firefighter this current week. In the past week, they've lost one. This current week, we are losing another. And in just three more weeks, we will lose yet another. That makes three firefighters gone in the span of a month. Our fire department is short-staffed. Our police department is short-staffed. None of this should come as a surprise. Many of the issues that have led to this point have been present for years, but have not been attended by the city leadership. It is imperative that these issues are now addressed immediately. And then it continues that if anyone has any questions for Brian, you can call him. Each one of your letters is signed by Brian. I didn't write it. I don't know if it's factually true. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know there's several items in here that I don't know if there's anybody wants to address any of those. Turn to our law director because I know that you had emailed Mr. Anderson previously, I think this last week even.
Yes, we had
and sent a copy to everybody in council.
Yes.
So everything that you addressed in there, if there are some points in there that they're standing out to me anyways, like has a half percent been used for payroll, et cetera, and then what the ballot language said and what the intent of the voters was on that. I mean, just some of those.
Right, so the initial email that I had sent was based off of everything that, as I had understood, and the city auditor, we talked, I believe it was Friday morning, I think was when it was, and we had kind of gone through basically everything from day one and realized that that was an incorrect assumption that we'd had. There was some payments. I guess the way that my take from it was that those payments from the additional half percent at the time were absolutely necessary to keep employees employed here at the city. Like, as I remember, employees were donating back parts of their paycheck at that time. And so I guess the way I understand it at the time was that it was needed to cover. And so it was at that time, you know.
Do we know what years those were? Just, okay, but.
So, yeah, it was voted on in 2010
right.
And then went into effect for 2011. And then in 2015, it was voted on again to amend and add the streets. And that went into effect in 2016.
Okay. And when was it used for, there was actually some payroll, you said? Do you know what
in
year?
In 2011, and I apologize, I couldn't dig into this as much as I would have liked to in the last couple of weeks, but basically from 2011 to 2015, what was brought in with the half percent and what was paid out total for police and fire far exceeds what we brought in for the half percent. Now, I haven't looked at all expenses and calculated it down. This is 2011 to 2023 is an extreme amount of time to have
sure.
to cover. But I would say in those early years, it definitely could have gone for sure, in 2011, it
okay.
helped to cover payroll.
When did we start tracking? What year did we start tracking them as separate? Because I know that didn't happen right away.
2016.
So 16 is when we started tracking them separately for that reason. Okay, thank you. Just to answer a couple of questions that were in this letter, and Brian's been a lifelong friend. He's not here, and I'm not. I would talk to him about it and stuff too, but I do know when we the main thrust behind passing the half percent because I was on council then. Myron, you were the only other one here on council. Larmer's here in the audience, so he was also on council. We had $1 million fire truck-ish. I think that was about the ballpark. It was going to cost about $1 million for a fire truck. We had no means of paying for it. A pumper tanker was going to be needed a few years after that. I know a grass truck was so we had like all these different big ticket items that we had no way of paying for. Plus, we were post-recession, 2008-09 recession, and everybody's, we all remember, it was bad times. Everybody's pay, no one got pay increases for a while, et cetera, across the board everywhere. But that was what we really needed the 0.5% for, was how are we going to ever pay for these big ticket items? So one, that we can keep insurance costs down, because our insurance rating could go up if we didn't have the right equipment. I remember that being part of the conversation, and you guys can verify what I'm saying. If I'm wrong, correct me. Yeah? Well, you might. Can we get you on the mic, Jeff? I'm sorry. And I appreciate you being here, because there's a lot to recollect from 13 years ago.
I got a pretty good memory, yeah. How that was all presented is because at the time, the reason why your guys are getting messed up on the wages being paid out, because we presented that that whole 0.5% as we needed capital improvements bad. The aerial truck was a 1958, and I championed that with the firefighters and worked with them. And the wage part that you're seeing is we were telling people that it would maintain the staffing positions that we had at that time. We were scared there that if we, the deficit was going to be coming, they forecast it, and these employees were not going to keep their jobs. It wasn't presented to the public that we were going to actually, add new firefighters like that were in our EMT people like we are now. It was basically to maintain what workforce we had, and the pay scales at that time, and then work on capital improvements. And that's when we went into the aerial. It was a tough sell to the public, trust me, because we had to prove to them, a 1958 aerial needed to be replaced. And it's funny that Mr. Anderson is the one that pushed back on that, because when I met with the firefighters, I thought it was a little strange. He was in the crowd and he said, We don't need new equipment. I thought, you're going to argue with me about a 1958 aerial? That was the year I was born. I remember this conversation. I just shook it off and went on. But we got multiple trucks. We got boats off the top of my head. We got a new boat before I got out of council. Anything that the fire department and the police department wanted as far as capital, we did. And now we're going to do new, and I'm sure we'll build a new firehouse. We'll get it done one way or another. I already got ways of funding on that, not counting grants are out there. I think the staffing problems that we're having now is what the private sector has been putting up with for the last 3 years, and it finally caught up with the city. I mean, I had problems hiring people. Every business owner in the private sector has had a hard time finding people, especially since COVID, because a lot of people just retired. Said, I ain't going back to work. So that's why we're in this spot. I think I disagree with the chief just a little bit on being able to promote Salina. I know there's companies out there that we would have to pay, but they would put 110% into finding us employees like we do in the private sector. I'm sure they got one out there. If they don't, we should start that business. There's a gap in the, but I think if we do that, we got the benefit packages are good for police and fire. 100% paid HSAs. You just got to look at it, and you got to use those tools and those benefit packages, the retirement, all that's good compared to the private sector. Now, I don't know if and I think you did the right thing bringing wages up, because we all had to do it in the private sector 3 years ago. We started that because we were losing people. I mean, they were jumping to go work for a competitor somewhere else. It was kind of the nature of the beast. And I feel for the chief because, when you go in, like in my business, I could have tons of work, but if I don't have people to do it, it's a little scary. Things sink pretty quick, you know what I mean? And we were having that happen, so I understand why he's emotional about it. It's tough. But I think we just got to get a good... I think it needs to be somebody from the outside. We can all think small, like newspapers and social media is good. Don't get me wrong. But you need, and we need a nationwide thing to come here. And now that Salina has got some really good things going for it, I mean, development's coming in. It's starting to be a tourist attraction. We're really, you know, if you promote it, that we're an hour or so away from Fort Wayne, an hour away from Pequa, or an hour and 15 from Columbus. You know, there's things to do in the city, and cost of living is a hell of a lot cheaper here than those places. You know, and I know we lost guys. We all put up with that, and it's nerve-wracking. Trust me, I live it. Every day I wonder who's going to come to my office next, say they're going somewhere else. But we all had to raise our rates on paying them per hour. And I think that's what we're experiencing here locally with you guys. You work off of 3-year union contracts, right? So we really don't talk for 3 years. That's the bad thing. And then, so you're 3 years behind the game. So, you know, as far as saying that, I mean, for me personally, there's nobody's more that didn't champion anything that the police wanted or the fire department wanted. I proved it. Just look at the facts. Bill, pull up some Daily Standard articles. We got those fire trucks. I can believe there was morale problems with previous administrations. I seen it, okay, because I had firefighters that are some retired. I don't know if any of the guys are still working. That'd be in my office going, hey, Jeff, I appreciate you going after that truck. We're not going to get that truck. That's how low the morale was. They didn't trust city council, administrations, or anything to get them anything. And I'm not talking about this administration, previous ones, for I don't know how many decades back, okay? So I can believe that. Where I get a little screwed up at in my head is doing morale problems now has got to be mostly about wage, because police, if you'd have seen some of the cruisers they were doing high-speed chases in, that's why I went to bat for them. We got a good program put together with these savings account to really take care of capital improvements on your tools that you need to do your job. I don't care if it's AR-15s in your trunks, whatever you needed for an active shooter, things have changed. Anything that came across our plate up here, this guy was voting yes for police and fire. Like I said, we not just got an aerial in a really bad economy. I went after it for two reasons. One, they obviously needed it. Two is the fire companies were building trucks that they normally only build when you order one because they're so doggone expensive. They were losing their help during that bad economy. So they made three aerials up ahead of time just to keep their help busy. And then they reduced them to us. And if I remember right, we saved $300,000 on that first piece of equipment we bought. And once that clicked in our heads, that's when we went after everything. And then we put a program together because we don't want to be in this situation again on capital improvements on those type of tickets where we're going back to the public going, well, we didn't really save any money to replace something in 20 years. Now it's in place. So we got all that in place, and I think, you know, seeing those guys come in my office and say, hey, never thought you'd get that pulled off, and we pulled it off. At least the council that I served on for 12 years, back police. If you guys needed a firing range, you got it, didn't you? You know, you needed a new place to put cars in from drug busts or whatever, you got it. I don't think this council's going to stand back and just let all this fall apart. You're not going to do that, right? No, you're not. But we got to work together, and I agree with Tom Sanford over there. You can't have people going out and negatively saying things on social media and try to attract somebody here. And that's probably the first thing that third party that you hire and is going to say. You know, we got to promote Salina like we do on everything else, you know. And then we'll get these employees in here. There's ways of getting them in here. Get the staffing up, get the wage up, which you guys, I think, got done, or at least sort of there. You might have to massage it a little bit, I don't know. Just keep working together and get this thing taken care of, because I can tell you, in the groups I run with, the business people, they're tired of hearing about it. They're tired of people coming up here and yakking them and yelling, screaming about stuff and getting all upset. You know, well, this guy's got to go or this guy's got to go. That don't get us anywhere. Okay? You know, a lot of ex-employees talk up here. And that's okay. I don't care. But they're not here. Why? I'd rather hear from my chief like I did tonight. You know, I'd rather hear from you guys, the people that's working for us, because those are the ones I really want to listen to. I don't want to listen to all these other people that already ran out the door and went somewhere else. I don't care. I only care about Salina where I live and trying to get the police force and the fire department up to snuff. So more meetings. Talk to the chief. Help him through that process and get everybody back on board along with the public. If you're not transparent, I can tell you, we never set that 0.5% to pay wages. And I was on that from day one and fought the previous administration to get done what I wanted to get done. Not this one, the one before. If you're not transparent, you'll find out just like Sheriff Gray found out the first time he tried to pass a levy. They got voted down, didn't it? Got out there, he was transparent, and he explained everything, had the numbers straight so you're not fumbling around, got to lay it out there. And the taxpayers approved this 0.5% every single time by a large margin. And that is your report card. So I do agree with you, Eric, on that. If you don't, that's your report card. Is that every 7 years?
Yes.
So every 7 years, they're going to look at you. That's not a permanent fund. If all of a sudden you do commit to wages or you do commit to a firehouse, that could get ugly real quick because it don't take much because the public, it took a long time to get the public to actually like council when I first got on. There was such a boom, 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 and I'm starting to see it again. And that boom, 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 no, it doesn't get you nowhere. I mean, nowhere. So you got to be transparent. If you go back and even, I don't care how you interpret it, I don't care. I can tell you, I was out there, that's not how he sold it. So you're probably going to have to do, and I think I might have told you, Mr. Mayor, when we were talking about streets, there's always ways of moving things around, okay? Public ain't going to put up with it. They're just not going to do it. They'll vote that down in a heartbeat. So if you want to use that 0.5%, then you're going to have to go back and ask the voter, and then you better have your ducks in a row to explain it, and if you do, they'll probably pass it. Anything sneaky, they're not going to put up with that. That's just my personal opinion. But right. For what it's worth.
Thank you, Mr. Larmer.
Okay.
And again, I just want to say that the one thing you did hit on there was it was a 7-year 0.5%. And I know in our discussions it was never tied to wages at that time for sure because we could not tie wages to something that was going to be temporary. And that doesn't even make sense to do that in the first place. We were looking at the big expenditures coming. That was how that went. And I know in 2000, so since 16 when we passed it again, we've been keeping better track of where it goes and count for everything since then. I guess that was the one thing we missed and should have done from the get-go in 2011.
Well, I think what occurred in 2011 when it came in, as I worked with the former auditor, she had everything going straight into the general fund where the 1% was, and it took her a few years before the state auditor then said it has to be in a separate fund.
Okay.
And so
okay.
Then
I remember that.
Then Auditor Strawn did that, and that way it made it very easy to track.
Right. Okay. Yep. Remember that. Okay. Any other comments from council on that?
Jeff made a good point. You know, we don't, when it comes to talking to our police officers and our firemen, we don't hear from them for every 3 years. And so, and part of my confusion is that just what, a few weeks ago, we passed a contract, right?
We
accepted a contract that everybody agreed to. Just, I don't, how many weeks ago was that? You know, it was within the last 2 months, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, Now we're dealing with all this stuff that why wasn't addressed? If it was known, why wasn't it addressed in the contract before? So that's part of my confusion. We just signed it and we just approved it for the next 3 years with the raises and everything because that's what the officers wanted. And so we did that. And that's what the firemen wanted. And we did that. So that's part of my confusion. Why is it now not good? If it was, everybody was on board, does it have to be unanimous for that contract to be accepted by the different, I don't know. Does it?
No.
Majority.
Majority. So it's a majority. So it just got agreed upon by a majority. Okay.
I think part of the issue was Salina was essentially one of the last ones to the table and trying to get parity on that. Well, so now you have other departments that have now, they're entering into negotiations and it's going up and down in increments. So it will quickly, unfortunately, put Salina back down below. It wasn't designed to do that, but they were lower up front. And quite frankly, it goes back before we came in 12, and administration-wise, back in 10, there were employees that took some pay cuts. I think they took some time off. They reduced salaries. It never got made up to them. So I think that's kind of left some in the, kind of a burr in the saddle as well. And I understand that. That's not an easy thing just to go massage over, but it's one that you look at and say, okay, what does it take to go forward? How do we not just merely make them whole? How do we make them proud to stay here with wages? And we've had some of those discussions, but we're trying to work that out. It is going to mean additional revenue. We're going to have additional revenue to do that. And frankly, I believe we need to have additional revenue on a permanent basis. But I think that's something we could do. I know the law director and I talked about it. It was really too quick to react to get it on this fall. And so we have to look at that going forward. But we have to be able to look in the future for this. How do we get them to a staffing level where not only do they have compensation where they need to be, but they can come in every day and be glad that they're here, they're making enough money, and we can address how we're recruiting people as well as retaining them. And like I said during the committee meeting, the transfer that was just allowed by civil service rules, I mean, we have a lot of rules by state that we have to go by, and national testing. Our civil service board passed it to allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. It is a bittersweet coin. It works both ways. Not only could we attract people in, but they can leave as well. And up front, when we were doing the patrolmen, we were told there were several officers ready to transfer into Salina, and that did not materialize, which is, it's sad about it, but we do need to work on it. I think our officers still have a lot of good ideas on how to attract, but I think we have to strategically look at that, and I agree. We probably need to get a professional recruiter on that level because I just don't think we're being able to reach out far enough to grab that.
Mr. Mayor, you're mentioning we're going to permanently need more revenue, that's and right. I hate raising taxes.
I do too.
Especially with my property taxes.
But I also whatever. Want Everybody police and it. Fire services.
I understand,
we
yeah.
need our
it's a reality
services.
We may have to look at.
Yes.
Can we look, can you maybe have a, we could have a committee meeting sometime in the near future, just
Absolutely.
To look at what that would look like, this percentage versus that percent, et cetera, so we would have some options as to what we
I
forecast we're going to need.
I
know that kind of probably takes some budgeting as well, but what are we going to need moving forward? And then obviously the people are going to speak on that.
And they will. Right. And so. I think what we have to look at, there's an income tax element that we look at, but then you have those that are under 18, the retirees, those
right.
that would be on employment, those that would be on federal assistance, they don't pay income tax. And so that's always the complaint that we get, it's not fair.
And what,
so then
what
the
ability?
Only other way, you look at millage, which is on property.
Okay.
And that always makes people really nervous, but that actually is the best because every property owner, whether you're renting the house out or not, has a portion of that. The police and fire is important for everybody, not just a select few people. It's everybody, visitors as well as residents, those that are surrounding our community. We have a fire district. You all know that we have fire contracts in different townships. We also have the EMS agreement, which even though it's a county agency, we have contracted with them since the 70s. And I've heard some, I guess I've heard some things coming back that, they're getting $1,200 a run. You can look at the EMS budget. We have it. They're not making millions of dollars a year. But every time they do an ambulance, every year, every other year, they try to buy at least one ambulance. You're net about $300,000 thereabouts. But it is one that there is a lot of expense that goes into that. And there's multiple what we call volunteer agencies, Coldwater, Rockford, Mendon, all these folks out there, they depend on that assistance. And we are the only full-time in the county. So we need to be able to work forward and saying, what does that budget look like? Because where ambulatory services are absolutely critical, so is fire services. And the equipment that we have that will deal with the ISO ratings, it means a reduction of roughly 15% on people's insurance premiums if you have the right on-site equipment, which we do. But we need to go forward, and we need to show not only the public that we care about it, but we need to show our people in the fire and police that we really do care about it as we go forward.
So just real quick question, what is a municipality's means of taxation? What are the only means that we can
use? Well, you have income tax. So that is the key thing. But and I'm going to use Public Works as an example for the streets. They get, I think, $96,000 from the general fund. That's what they get from the general fund as a transfer. They have different, they have highway tax and street tax. They get multiple taxes, permissive tax. All those can't be used for other things. It has to go into streets. State highway funds can only be used for like Main Street, which is 127, and then Logan Markin Street. That's the only where that money can be used.
Right, but we can do an income tax.
We can do an income tax.
But my understanding is not a sales tax.
We cannot do sales tax. Okay. Only the county can do a sales
but
tax.
But potentially millage is the other one.
We can do millage or income. Income tax. That is our choice.
So those are things we need to talk about in a committee
meeting
in the future.
Those are our only choices.
All right.
That is correct.
All right. So appreciate that. If we can get some of those numbers together, then you guys call, administration call a committee meeting to look at the future. We got to get on these things as soon as possible. So,
Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I got a request when we have that committee meeting. I would like to see, like, this is awesome, the July budget. I'd like to see a more realistic projection then of next year's budget of how everything breaks down, because right now, at least for me, we're talking in generalities. I think some people in the public have a perception that there's money there that we're not shifting around. We need to be transparent. So I want to see where all the projected revenue is being divvied out budget-wise.
Certainly.
I also think we need to project how much additional money then above what we've already committed to with the updated contracts to get to where we need to be with all safety services and see what the difference is. Because we need to, as a group, really look hard at the budget. Like, where can we cut other things to get the money, you know? We have to be able to show the community that we've done our part to challenge ourselves on budget and show them, you know, very clearly why there's a need. We can't just say there's
No, absolutely not. I agree, and we can certainly show that. The July budget is one because it's a balance that the county's got to be able to certify what we have in order to look at local government funds or LGF funds that the city gets awarded to that's all divvied up among throughout Mercer County. So that will be put down. Everything in there was itemized, but we need to take it to the next step and show those specifics so you can see where it's all going. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
All right, we appreciate that. All right, I'm going to move along here. We're burning through some time here. I've got three more here. Chase Kuhlman, topic of public records.
So he spoke about morale and transparency. I'm here to talk about a report that was taken in 2016 involving Mr. Hitchcock in the pool. There was a complaint made that him and his family were swimming in the pool. An officer was dispatched.
We've been through this one multiple times, and I want to make sure that you abide by the standard of council decorum. So if this is going to be a personal attack, I'm just not going to allow it.
How is this a personal attack?
It's okay. Right. But we've been over this multiple times in the council meeting.
People don't know about this. I've asked multiple people. People don't know about it. There was a public record deleted by the chief of police, and nothing was done about it. How is there any transparency in that? How are his guys supposed to trust him when he's deleting reports that people... Even if it's not a criminal matter, the report was created, he deleted it. That looks like, oh, it's the good old boys club. He's trying to hide what occurred. If there was no problem with it, why was there a problem with it being a public record that anyone could read? Why did it have to be deleted?
I'll let Chief Well go ahead and respond to that real quick.
Quite honestly, I was hoping not to even go there. But since that's where you want to go, that's where we'll go. How much do you know about public record laws? It was not a record. It did not meet the definition of a record. No, it wasn't.
I have a copy of it.
You have a copy of a statement.
It was a report.
That was not completed and submitted as a report.
And you deleted it.
Okay, will you let me talk? You want an answer?
But answer that. Did you not delete it from the system?
Do you want an answer?
Can you answer that?
Then let me answer.
All right, Chief, go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you. I deleted a statement, not a report, not a record. A statement of an incomplete report that was made by an insubordinate officer. I'm finishing this statement. The gentleman that's pulling your strings really should be asking these questions.
No one's pulling my strings here.
Okay. this started about 12 years ago, not 8 years ago. There was a challenge from an ex-employee who was an employee at the time, decided to confront the new administration just to flex his muscles and to basically say, you know, we're going to do this and this in the contract, and if you don't, we're going to arbitration. Instead of doing it the right way, going through negotiations, kind of like you're supposed to do. This employee continued in a adversarial position against the administration the whole time he was here, making statements that weren't completely accurate and about raises and whatnot. And finally, it got a little too hot in the kitchen for him, and he left. And this irritated the people who remained because he was their friend. And they listened to one side of the story, not both. And as this continued, there was a target put on the administration. And because I didn't play along, a target put on me. I was aware the evening, that Mr. Hitchcock was doing an inspection on the pool. I was aware of it ahead of time, so I knew it was above board. I was also aware he was doing it at the time he was doing it so it would not interfere with the hours of the pool so that the public can continue to use the pool. We were also in the middle of a festival, the biggest festival we have of the year. So rather than pulling an employee away from their duties, this is a major festival. He brought his wife, who was certified in various first aids, to keep an eye on him as he was inspecting the pool in case he had a medical emergency. What do you do with the kids? They got permission from the mayor to let the kids come along so that they wouldn't have to hire a babysitter so he could do his job. When the sergeant who initiated this call, he called me. He wanted to know what to do. And I told him it was a personnel matter. I was aware of it. And that I would further speak with the mayor about it to make sure there wasn't something I misunderstood. And he wanted to make a report. I told him it was not a police matter. It was not a criminal matter, which is what BCI said in their report. So they agreed with me on my assessment of the situation. But in their zeal to continue to go after it, this same officer contacted the assistant chief, who was standing right next to me, hung up with me after I told him no, picked up the phone and called the assistant chief and asked him the same thing, who promptly informed him that, no, you were told no, this is a personnel matter. This is not a criminal matter, not a police matter. So the weekend goes on, and I open up the reports from the weekend and see what's going on. And yes, I saw a report in progress, which is not a record. Yes, I was upset that the officer was insubordinate. And I had two options in front of me. I had an option of ringing this officer up for insubordination, potentially costing him his career. Or the other option I saw was stop the report in its tracks and expected him to come and see me. So yes, the statement was deleted. It was not a record. It was not illegal. It was not criminal. It was not improper. Then it was brought to the attention of the Mercer County Prosecutor's Office, who did not see a reason to pursue it. They did not want to be involved. They told him, if you want to move on with it, take it to BCI. It went to BCI. BCI interviewed me. They interviewed Mr. Hitchcock. They interviewed the mayor. They interviewed everybody involved. They took several months. They came back. They had a meeting with myself. And our law director, George, sat in with me just so he'd see if the city had any issues. The two suits from BCI said, no, you did not commit a crime. you did not do anything improper. They said the better course of action would have been to discipline the officer. Now, would you rather I fired that officer, or would you rather I have just did it the way I did it?
No one said he had to be fired. I guess my thing is...
Insubordination is punishable by up to and including termination.
I'm trying to finish. Okay.
You should know that. I mean, you spoke with your prior boss about that.
Said he was worried this was going to be swept under the rug. What it looks like to everybody, it was swept under the rug. If there was no criminal intent with it, police officers take civil reports all the time that there's nothing the police...
This wasn't a civil report. This was a personnel issue for the city.
What's the problem with it being documented if there was nothing wrong with it? Why did it...
The course of action I ordered my officer to take was to let me handle it. The officer did not do what I told him to do.
Yes,
and I think the best course of action is the course of action I should have taken all along. And it would have been a whole lot less headaches. I should have disciplined him, and the cards will fall where they do. I like that officer. I like him now. He's one of my best officers. He does whatever I ask him to do. He's loyal. But he made a mistake that day, and so did I. But there was no criminal intent. There was no cover-up.
Okay,
and you're bringing up an 8-year-old matter that has been hashed out in this forum for years.
You know, I'm sure that had an effect.
Okay, so is it a better effect to issue a discipline up to including termination to that officer?
Sometimes all people get disciplined.
Okay, well, and that's what upset them after that. After that, I sent most of my discipline through Clemens and Nelson, which has been told many times in here, and people didn't like me sending it to Clemens and Nelson. But when I made the decision, it caused me a lot of problems, caused the administration a lot of problems, and apparently, I mean, you were probably in high school or junior high at the time, so you wouldn't know anything about it except somebody's feeding you this to cause problems in here again today. Okay, how did you get that exact report number?
From someone else, no one in this room.
It doesn't matter
who I got it from, but no one in this
okay.
room.
Okay, so somebody is feeding it to you to cause problems.
I just thought it needed brought up because it's the only other question I had for you was, Ms. Shin, I requested public salaries everyone last year, and I haven't heard anything back.
Yes, I was able to get the report today back from HR, and I just wanted to look that over myself before I send it your way.
Okay.
So I apologize for not getting that to you yet. I just have to prioritize, and unfortunately, the public record request
you're
was...
fine. I just wanted to make sure it was still being looked into.
It most certainly is.
All right.
Thank you,
and thank you, Chief, for your answer. I think that gave a more complete story there of what needed to be heard, so appreciate that. All right, Heather Schmidt, you're next. Okay. And then Sean Meyer, policing. Okay. All right. Then I guess we'll move on at this time to our other two new business items. Mr. Law Director, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first of those additional two new items is Ordinance 47-24-0, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to accept bids for the Mill Street Improvement Project. Whereas, the City of Salina would like to accept bids for the Mill Street Improvement Project. And whereas, the engineer estimates the total cost for this project to be around $300,025. I think we forgot a
hundred
in there. That does need a motion to amend. Moving on, $5,325,000. And whereas awarding the appropriating funds for this project will be done after bids have been accepted, since appropriation of funds will be determined by the bid breakdown. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Salina, County of Mercer, and State of Ohio. Section 1, that the Safety Service Director is authorized to accept bids for the Mill Street Improvement Project. Section 2, now, therefore, this ordinance shall take effect and be in force immediately upon its passage and approval by the mayor at the earliest period allowed by law.
All right, comments from administration.
I guess this is a little different than we normally do. Normally we do bid and award and we appropriate the money. since this project will be coming out of six different accounts, and it's going to be determined on how much the contractors bid on each different item, we just wanted to get the bidding part out of the way, and then we'll bring everything back to council to award it. So then we'll have the appropriations at that time, so we know exactly off the bids what accounts are paying for what.
And Mr. Hitchcock, there was some money that was allocated from the state, am I right?
Yeah, there's $500,000 part of the OPWC money. We also have to accept that yet. That award should be coming to us.
Okay.
So we just want to get the bidding, get the engineering out of the way for a completed plan so we can get bid out this fall.
Okay, thank you. Comments from council? Mr. Fleck?
That's probably going to have to be done in a timely manner so the costs don't.
Right. We're trying to get it so we can get on their schedule since it's such a large project that we...
Polyfaceted.
Right. And I gave the plans. If everybody's seen, the plans are on your seats there. It kind of gives you a breakdown between the three different phases of it and kind of what it's going to happen in each of the blocks. The dollar amounts on the plans were done about 3 months ago. We updated the estimates, so the estimate in the ordinance and the estimate on the plans will not match. But that's just because costs have changed in the last 3 months. So.
And again, you'll notice this goes from Beaver on the south end all the way to Tavel on the north end. It's the entire Mill Street.
All right. Mr. Botzell, then Mr. Stanford, follow.
So... having a lot of discussion about money and streets and safety service, where things the money goes, I see this as pretty significant with replacement of storm sewer, water line, sanitary. Can you speak to the need and some of the issues we're seeing, maybe the age of the infrastructure that's leading to this kind of rebuild?
I guess if we want, we can have a breakdown of how many water main breaks we've had on this. We've cameraed all the lines to know where our sewers are bad. Storm was same way. But, I mean, this could go to a second reading, and I can get you any other additional information that you want. So, like I said, we have to wait on the OPWC money anyways. So this could go to a second reading to discuss more information. So
you know roughly the age, or do you have to?
We'd have to look it up. We have it all in a spreadsheet, but I don't know it off the top of my head. So
I think it might be beneficial to explain.
Yep. No issues at all.
All right, Mr. Stanford.
My question was similar. Just I imagine that we have, but just trying as much as possible to figure out the funds that we have available and what's coming down the pike, that we are still doing the best that we can with what we got. And not that we don't want to do the street because it probably needs done, and not that we don't want to do it to the best of our ability, but even if there's phases that we can do that it makes sense, and I know it costs more if we want to just break it up. So I just want to encourage everybody just to try to look at the funding as well and keep it tailored back, but again, quality.
Right, and we can do that. We knew this Mill Street and Sugar Street were both coming, and they were going to be major projects.
Yeah,
so we've been saving money back in our funds to pay for these. So we do have enough money in both of all the funds to pay for both of these projects, but we can show you the breakdowns of that, too.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Clausen, you're next.
Yeah, and this is probably one of those arteries that kind of off 127, and I think this is something that's needed. I travel that quite a bit, and that road has gotten pretty bad, and I'm sure the people that live on Mill will appreciate some effort, not to mention the some of the businesses that are also affected by this. So and when you say these are stages, these aren't like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year.
It'd be phases of construction in the one given construction cycle.
Okay.
So if we do it all in 1 year, there may be a crew working. It'd probably be multiple crews.
Okay.
So you may have a crew start Tavel, you may have a crew start Beaver, and do it and try to finish up those and then go to the next sections. Or you may just have a waterline crew come in and do it all the way down Mill, and then another crew come back in to start doing curbs and all the other repairs.
Okay.
We just don't know how the contractor would want to phase it out.
Okay.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Need a motion? Mr. Sanford?
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to amend and also the improvement in the title. I don't know if it's Still like that, just to amend the word or scribners.
Yeah, we'll amend that word and then to add the word 100 between 3 and 1,000 in the second whereas.
Yep.
Is that the only two?
Yes.
All right, motion to amend by Mr. Sanford. I get a second, please. Mr. Baltzell, second for amend.
Gray.
Yes.
Clausen.
Yes.
Buxton.
Yes.
Fleck.
Yes.
Sanford.
Yes.
Baltzell.
Yes.
Any other motions? Mr. Baltzell?
Pass the second.
Mr. Fleck?
I'll second.
Okay, to pass the second reading.
Clausen.
Yes.
Buxton.
Yes.
Fleck.
Yes.
Baltzell.
Yes.
Gray.
Yes.
Sanford.
Yes.
And that passes the second reading 6-0. Move on to our last new item, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is Ordinance 48-24-0, an ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an amended agreement with the IAFF Local Number 2603 of the International Association of Firefighters and declaring an emergency. Whereas, with recent results of union negotiations within some of the city's bargaining units, city administration and IAFF have come to acceptable terms to amend the current collective bargaining agreement 38-23-0, passed on November 13, 2023, in order to address recruitment and retention issues for those positions covered by the collective bargaining agreement. And whereas, as a result, Salina administration and IAFF have agreed to voluntarily enter into a Memorandum of Understanding, hereinafter MOU, labeled as Exhibit A, which is attached hereto and fully incorporated herein by reference. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the Council of the City of Salina, County of Mercer, State of Ohio, Section 1, that the Council of the City of Salina does hereby agree and approve the MOU recently reached between the City of Salina and IAFF. Section 2, that the Safety Service Director be and are hereby authorized on behalf of the City to enter into an updated bargaining agreement with IAFF, and that said updated agreement terms shall supersede the existing agreement authorized by Ordinance 38-23-0 as written and amended for the period upon signing through September 16, 2026. Section 3, that this ordinance shall be declared an emergency measure immediately necessary for the preservation of the public health, safety, and welfare, and for the further reason, council action must be taken within 30 days of presentation to council. Now, therefore, this ordinance shall take effect and be in force immediately upon its passage and approval by the mayor at the earliest period allowed by law.
I'm going to ask the administration to speak on this.
So it has been brought to our attention that other local cities do have firefighter positions without EMT certs, and as a way to help recruit and bring in some new firefighters, we have come to an agreement to pass an MOU that will allow firefighters with no EMT training to be able to come work for the city, so that we could try to help fill our crews.
I think this is a great beginning step to try to get folks in that don't have that initial. It still comes down to being able to help reimburse them for training. We get firefighters in there, and if they then want to go to the next step on EMT training, then they can already be employed in order to do that. So just waiting for somebody to come to the city that's already got their certs and everything else is really unrealistic in today's employment arena. So what we want to look at is how we can help to attract on the firefighters, and incidentally, we're also looking to do that on the police side for cadets. So we are trying to work both ways and get everything that we can to try to at least get the entry level so that we can put them into that further training.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Questions or comments from council? Mr. Gray?
I think this is a good step in attracting people
it's
that
one of the
are
many
not
steps.
Fully trained yet, but
yes.
Again, this is it's late. As far as we have to attract more people.
Yes.
But I think it's a good step.
I think it's a great step to start.
Mr. Clausen?
Yeah, we got to do whatever we can here. And I think reaching out and or at least letting people know that are firefighters, they can come here to work. And then it does, we will cover schooling costs? Is that what this?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We will be doing that.
Okay.
But keep in mind, one of the things that the chief had talked about was the two in, two out rule for fires, yep, with the exception of imminent threat to life. We want to make sure that that's covered right up front, and then as they work into the medical side of it as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
My question would be, they wouldn't have to work toward the medical side, or they would be?
They don't have to, because this is specific.
Yeah, so they have 1 year to complete their EMT training,
okay.
And then 1 year after they complete their paramedic training to actually pass and get certified.
That is
on
correct.
The paramedic.
Just gives us more of a time.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay, so it gets them in earlier, because EMT training does take a while to get the course and to actually do the training. And I was also told that if we pass this tonight, there is at least one firefighter who would already say they would come and be full-time with us. So again, this is to help staffing in the immediate.
Okay. They just don't have to be an EMT training to begin with.
Got it.
Okay. We need to bring them in out of the fire.
But they can't do anything EMT related, obviously.
That's correct.
But, okay. All right.
All right. Okay.
Yes, Trey.
Can they drive? Well, I mean, that's what
that's requirement, that, I mean, isn't it?
It is a requirement.
They can drive the squad.
Yeah, they would be able to drive the squad.
Yep, Mr. Baltzell.
There's no other comments. I'd make a motion to suspend.
Mr. Buxton, okay.
We'll second that.
Okay, there it is. Motion to suspend the rules that require the three readings by Mr. Baltzell, seconded by Mr. Buxton.
Buxton?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
All right, the rules that require the three readings are suspended. Mr. Clausen?
Passage.
And Mr. Gray? Second, thank you. For passage.
Clausen?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Hey, ordinance passes 6-0. Move on to second reading. We have one item in the second reading. All business items, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is ordinance 43-24-0. An ordinance to accept the petition for the annexation of 6.75 acres, more or less, in Jefferson Township to the City of Salina, to be known as Machine Pro Technologies LLC Annexation.
Any comments or motions from council? Mr. Clausen?
Yeah, we talked about this at the last meeting and about the expansion out there at Machine Pro and anything to, I think this is a good step for growth. So I'd like to make a motion for passage to third.
Okay, motion made. Spot cell.
Second.
Thank you. For passage to third.
Sanford?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Ordinance passes third reading 6-0 is the roll call. Move on to third reading. We have two items, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first of those is ordinance 39-24-0. An ordinance authorizing a lease agreement between the City of Salina and the Driftwood RC Model Boat Club for the lease of the Eastview Park.
Mr. Gray?
No questions from council. I vote to pass.
Okay. Motion to pass. Mr. Fleck?
Second.
Okay. It's for final passage.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Clausen?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Ordinance passes 6-0. And our last item, Mr. Law Director.
Thank you, Mr. President. That is ordinance 42-24-0. An ordinance authorizing the Safety Service Director to enter into an amended agreement with the Salina Municipal Employees Representative Committee, CMERC, and declaring an emergency.
Comments or motions made by council? Mr. Baltzell?
I'll make a motion to pass.
Okay, motion made for final passage. Mr. Clausen?
I'll second.
Thank you.
Clausen?
Yes.
Fleck?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Sanford?
Yes.
Baltzell?
Yes.
Buxton?
Yes.
That ordinance passes 6-0 as well. Move on to administrative reports, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I want to point out
this Friday is Tastes.
This Friday is Tastes of Salina. That is sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce here in town, and it'll be all throughout downtown. I think it's 5 to 9, so I do want to mention that. The other thing that I was going to mention is the county commissioners did a recent resolution. They added $5 for the license, vehicle license tax. So just to make sure you're all aware of that, if you get a call, it didn't go to the city, but the county did put that on and wanted to make sure we were aware of that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Anything from Auditor Shin? Dr. Hitchcock?
The police chief would like to clarify one thing in my report, just since it was brought up last meeting.
Okay.
During the last meeting, we did have somebody ask about drug statistics. I believe she may have stepped out now. So I looked at 2023, the first 6 months, compared to the first 6 months of 2024. Drug calls in 23 were 16. In 2024, the drug calls dropped to 9. Drug arrests in 2023 were 13. In 2024, they dropped to 5. Overdose calls in 2023 were 6. And in 2024, are 5. The overdose calls are pretty stagnant. I did add in overdose fatalities, which increased this year. That is not normally due to enforcement, that's normally due to the drug of choice. A few years ago, we saw a spike in fatalities because of heroin use, which led into fentanyl use, and then it flowed back into meth, and the overdose fatalities dropped, and I think we're flowing back in to some of the other things that are causing fatalities. Anybody who's been in law enforcement for any number of years sees those. When I started, we were looking at crack cocaine and cocaine, and now you almost don't hear of it. You know, you hear a little cocaine here and there, hardly ever hear of crack cocaine, which makes me feel old. It's giving me flashbacks to Miami Vice, you know,
yeah.
In the 80s. But it just, the fatalities are due to what they're using. The actual overdose has dropped. I guess, you know, you can attribute the drop in stats to I just give you the stats. So.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Chief, I can have it. That's current. So it's only 6 months of 24. So we're
right,
high
and it's
on
months,
some of these.
It's 6 months
right?
of 23.
It was 6 months comparison.
It's the same six months. Right,
the first
sorry
six
about
months
that.
Of each
yep.
year. Yes,
okay.
It's the first 6 months of each year. So, I mean, is the drop due to, you know, hey, things are looking good? Or is the drop due to not having people out there making stops? No. Yeah, I can't say one way or another.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chief, for collecting those numbers, okay?
How many officers did you have last 2023?
2023, we had more officers. I'd have to look to see exactly how many.
We have 5 less this year.
Right. Yeah, and that's, right. Like I said, I don't know whether to attribute that to less officers making arrests or. But the overdose stats are dead even. So,
all right. Appreciate that, Chief. Law Director, anything?
I guess I wanted, I can't remember if it was the Chief and I that discussed this, but somebody had asked me about the same part of this report here, because there was a question at the last time that came up. There was a, you know, how you have the nature of the incident listed on here, like abandoned vehicle, alarm, assault, et cetera.
Right.
And I'm going back to the last meeting for the reference for the question that I was asked. But somebody had asked me, again, going back to the last one, it says on June 8th, officers responded to a call of a male who was shirtless and shoeless, apparently under the influence. They made contact with him at Burger King. He was under the influence of and in possession of meth, booked in jail, awaiting felony charges. But the drug number was 0. And I think, I want to offer you the explanation for that.
The explanation there is how the call came in. If the call came in as a suspicious person, then that's, and the officer doesn't update that code to, okay, it was not just a suspicious person, it's a drug call, which is what they should be doing. Then it goes down the stats as a suspicious, not a drug call. And without me going through and analyzing the, 400 calls over a 2-week period and changing the call codes myself,
obviously that would be a task that I just wouldn't have the time to do. We go with what was determined at the time of the call.
Right. Yeah. And the question came to me, like, how is that generated within the report?
Right. You know, like I said, if they called in, hey, this guy's acting weird, they're going to call it suspicious. The dispatcher's going to properly put it in as suspicious. You know, if that turns out to be a drug call and that code isn't changed, then it goes on the record, on the stat, as a suspicious. And like I said, short of going through 200 calls plus a week to make those changes personally, it's just the way it's at. So sure. No, the stats are imperfect, and I will say that. I think the stats in this new software are much better, much more accurate than the old system. But still, without proper input, you're not going to get proper output. Garbage in, garbage out.
That makes sense. Okay. I guess the only other thing, as I'd said before, you know, from day one, I've always said, if anybody has any ideas on anything, please, you know, pass them along. A lot of good ideas. There's some unfortunate legal constraints, but I'm happy to look into anything, especially if somebody says, hey, there's a city here that's doing something, like maybe they know something that we don't, and I'd love to take a look at that. So it's an open door, open line of communication.
All right, thank you, Mr. Law Director, and move on to for the good of the order. Mr. Buxton.
Thank you. I just, down underneath the administration report here under water plant, I found it interesting. I went back from to last year, same time frame, when they test the water samplings at the water plant. This year they're down almost half. I know weather has a lot to do with that. It might have been hotter last year or something, but just looking at that, they were down almost half when it was last year.
Yeah, they fluctuate quite a bit throughout the years, from year to year. I know it all depends on the type of bacteria in the lake and everything else. Sometime, if you guys want, I can bring you the chart. We chart it.
Okay.
And compare year to year. It is pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, it just caught my eye this time. I don't know why, but... That was it.
Okay. Look at the order. Anyone else? I'll bring one up. I was approached. I was out playing pickleball a couple weeks ago, and some people that were out there heard me talk. It was a windy day, and it was wreaking havoc on the ball. But anyways, I just said something about, man, we need some windscreens on this fence, and someone overheard me and suggested they know of someone that wants to do that. To sponsor putting a windscreen around the entire pickleball. So I think it's great. I have the names of the people and even the contact person. She gave me her name and said, so we'll look into that, but I want to get that to you. I think that'd be a great idea. And they were getting used pretty good, so I'm glad we're putting four more of them in. So it's good. Any other things for good of the order? For the good of the order? All right, then we'll, any committee meetings that need to be scheduled?
Do we need a personnel finance meeting?
Well, I think that's the budget.
Or
we do from a budget standpoint, but we do need a personnel finance. Let me find out the numbers that we can get together first. Okay. I don't want to set it unless I know we can get everything in alignment. So let me get that, and then that way we can reach out.
Okay.
All right. Let you know.
Then we will adjourn at 8:54.